All in preparation for the challenges that lie ahead. This is a show that feeds the mind with inspiration and truth on the issues of the day. If it's important to your life, you'll find it here. Hosted by Malcolm Out Loud.
He who knows when he can fight and when he cannot will be victorious. Those are the words of Sun Tzu, The Art of War. I don't know if you read that book or not, but I've read a couple of times, and it's always an interesting read to see what Sun Tzu had to say about everything in life. But today it's the art of compromise, the art of compromise. What does it take to compromise in our, you know, in our lives, in our personal lives, our families? You have to compromise your business, your career. You certainly got to compromise. Politicians in the political life, they have to compromise, do they? Many of them don't know how. And society in general, I mean, it's all a compromise. You have to know the art of compromise. When should you compromise and when should you hold fast and say, you know what, put your foot down and say, I'm not going to compromise anymore. I have an interesting piece we're going to talk about ahead. Stubbornness should always win over compromise. Yeah, I said that. I'll explain more about that in just a little bit. Joining us on the show today is an interesting gentleman, George McClellan, and he is a patriot. He's a military man and traveled all over the world. He's got an interesting perspective. He's a columnist at Out Loud America, and you can check his work out there. So George will be joining us just a bit in the program, and he just wrote a piece himself on Out Loud America, Compromise, What Is It? So I think today is the art of compromise. We'll talk more about that ahead. But before we do, I want to talk to you about this phenomenon. If you've been watching or paying attention to the planets aligning, there's evidently five of our planets are going to be visible from Earth at the same time. And this is a rare celestial show. It doesn't happen a lot here. So we're talking about Mercury, Venus, Saturn, Mars, and Jupiter. Well, they're all going to align. The last time they did this was well over a decade ago, I believe it was, something like that. In fact, it was back in 04. 04 into 05 in January, yeah, in December 04. That was the last chance the planets were in a similar lineup. I think this time they're going to be a little bit better to see all these. Dr. Alan Duffy out of the University of Melbourne, Australia, says, essentially a quirk of the universe, he calls it. He says, and with the five planets on different yearly cycles, he added, their alignment was something well worth seeing. You know, for me, I always have a hard time. I'll be honest with you, I've never studied the skies, but knowing I bet a lot of you do is the same thing, is where the hell the planets are, which is which. Now, they say they have apps that will help you identify where they all are. Now, I've got friends who can just point them right out, and I'm envious of them, and I kind of hate them at the same time. Those people, I'm saying, who just know where every planet or star is, what they're called, and hell, I can barely identify Earth sometimes and say that I'm here, let alone the planet. So, but I do envy people who know where everything is in the sky. That's not something I've really focused much on. But so the phenomenon is going to happen January 20th. It'll be Wednesday on the 20th of January. But here's the good news. This phenomenon goes on through the morning of February 20th. So you have a good amount of time there, about a month. If you don't see it one day or another, you might see it another day. And anyways, look up those apps and see, you know, what more is about that. I don't know what the particulars are, what time of the day or anything else, but I think that's going to be fascinating with all of these planets lining right up and we're able to see them right off Earth. Mercury, Venus, Saturn, Mars, and Jupiter. Obviously, Pluto is too far back, the homeland, so we can't get that far back, kids. But so listen, anyone been paying attention to the election? Of course you have. Well, I'll tell you what, it certainly is entertaining, isn't it? It's one of the most entertaining elections, and it's just getting started, really. It's going to be a year of, some call it entertaining, some call it very divisive. I've seen now, I wanted to point out to you, Joe Trippi, a Democratic strategist, has an interesting column he put together here over the past weekend. Why 2016 will be most negative, nasty presidential campaign in modern American history. Wow. And that's saying some, if he's saying that. This is the third column I've seen now presenting that 2016 is going to be one of the most negative campaigns in history. And this is another article. So I thought, you know, I'd like to check in with you guys and see what you think about this. You got to figure you got two front runners, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. They're both very, very controversial. Donald Trump for the Republicans, Hillary Clinton for the Democrats. They're both very edgy, controversial people. In fact, they both have upside down favorable ratings. So they're both upside down. They're not the most popular people or favorable wise. I mean, a lot of times they're not the kind of people say, well, you know, I really like this person. And they say you got to like your president or who you're going to elect. So should be interesting how these two do if they are the final candidates. It's looking more and more that way, guys. But it is kind of interesting and to see what's going to happen here. But they say brace yourself because this is going to be all consultants are saying this. A lot of the analysts are saying it's going to be one of the most negative campaigns in history. I think it's kind of sad, actually, because a lot of people are going to tune it right out. A lot of Americans are going to shut this right off. I can guarantee you they're not going to tolerate it. And then we become very ignorant is the problem. And it all sort of unravels. And then we leave it to the extremists to pick the next president. Not a good strategy, if you ask me. We need to keep the extremists and the idiots out of it. Let's just get middle of America to vote for the next president. We'd all be in better shape, I'm telling you. And also, Starbucks, well, they expect China to surpass the U.S. as its largest market. I'm telling you, China is growing and growing and growing. They expect China to eventually overtake the U.S. as the coffee chain's largest market. You know what I think of China? I'm always thinking of tea. I don't know. I guess probably because we always had that saying, all the tea in China or something. So I always thought China did tea, not coffee. But then again, Starbucks bought that tea company over a while back. Maybe they're serving tea in the China coffee shops there. I don't know. But currently, there's a couple of thousand stores in China, but they're adding another 500 stores, and they're expected to outpace eventually. It's going to take a few years, though, because there's 12,000 stores in the U.S. So that is quite a few, my friends. Well, this whole thing about compromise, we talk about compromise. Listen, compromise in our personal life, compromise in our business life. When you know when to compromise or when not to compromise, I mean, this is a huge advantage you have in life when you know exactly, you know, when should you compromise? Well, I know the answer to this. I know when you should put your foot down and say, you know what? I'm not going to budge on this thing. Well, joining us on the show today, George McLellan, again, is a military man, and I look forward to having George, and he's a great writer. It's the first time I've ever going to talk to him on air, so I'm anxious to see what he's got to say about to compromise, and some of his pieces are a little edgy. He's an edgy man, but he's got a lot to say about things, and I prefer to listen in and see what exactly that is. So buckle your seatbelt, folks. As always, we got a hell of a show coming your way. This is Malcolm Out Loud. This is Real Life, and we're going to be right back in just a bit here. But I think everyone knows we're dealing with a toxic social and political environment, which has resulted in a less quality life for every American. You know, as you look at the past several years, friends, dissatisfaction with the government has ranked among the leading issues when adults in the U.S. are asked to name the most important problem facing the United States. Well, our political leaders come up to the very top about every time. But again, it's not just the political environment. It's our social environment. It's our society as a whole. I mean, as I say, sometimes it's just a problem talking to your neighbor. So we're going to talk about the art of compromise or not this afternoon in the program here. And this is Real Life on the Brink. And you're here with Malcolm Out Loud. Thanks for being with me. And, you know, I always say it's real life, meaning that, you know, we get to the issues that matter, things that people want to hear about and things that we can talk about and dissect and get your thoughts on it. You can always chime back in, folks, by doing this. Let me give you an email address right now. speakup@malcolmoutloud.com is a great way to be heard, and we can read those comments on here with you. You also can email me at shutup@malcolmoutloud.com. That works as well. It's a real email address. So speakup@malcolmoutloud.com or shutup@malcolmoutloud.com. We'd love to have your comments and thoughts back in. Connect with us on Twitter as well, @MalcolmOutloud. And again, this is Real Life, and let's get with it here. I want you to meet George McLellan. His professional career covers 43 years in law enforcement, including the California Highway Patrol and the U.S. Naval Investigative Service. He has worked in many countries from the Philippine Islands to the United Kingdom, Asia, the Middle East, really throughout Europe and Russia. Well, George is passionate, and like most Americans, he's worried about our future. He's also a contributor and columnist on OutLoudAmerica.com. George, welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning, Malcolm. Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
All right. It's good to have you here. So listen, in one of your recent columns on Out Loud America, you kind of hit the nail on the head a little bit. And your headline on this column was Compromise. What is it? And folks, you can read that in its entirety on OutLoudAmerica.com. But compromise, what is it? And in that column, you say, I am infrequently asked why I never speak about compromise as a logical political solution to solving problems facing America. Explain more of what you're trying to say here.
Well, I use the word infrequently because up here where I live, we have a very small community of liberal thinking people, and one of them made a Facebook comment to that effect. It was just one, but I thought that just opened up my mind to what is compromise, how you define compromise, and how it has been used by the two political parties for the last 50 years. And that's the premise of this whole article, this whole short take that I wrote.
Right, right. So do you think we can, I mean, bottom line is, can we get anywhere with compromise in this country at this point, or are you totally against compromise, George?
Well, compromise works when you have two political parties who still believe in the basis of their government, a U.S. Constitution.
Right.
We have one political party now that does not. It uses it as an excuse to do what they want to do, but it doesn't follow the tenets that it's supposed to, was originally enacted to perform for American citizens. So you cannot compromise on principles. If you have a principle, then you got to stick with that principle so long as it's in line with our U.S. Constitution.
Right. Right.
And of course, I'm talking about the Democrats and the Republicans.
Right. Right. You're speaking about the Democrat. The party you're pointing out here is the Democrats, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. All right. Couple of thoughts here, okay? First off, I would say to you, I understand what you're saying. There are a lot of people who are really going back to our Constitution these days and are questioning, what are we doing here in this country? But I would say to you, and I would implore you to look beyond the Democrats. I would say to you, my friend, I don't think this is just a Democrat problem. I think this is a Republican problem as well. I don't think they're following the Constitution either, George.
Well, that's probably true now because the Democrats have long been subverted by the Environmental Green Party, which is a socialist type of idea, and they're totally corrupted by that socialist Marxist thinking of how people should live and that they should tell us how to live.
All right.
The Republicans don't have the, you know, as conservatives, Republicans have failed to argue against these sound good plans that these people put forth. It's very nice to, when you present a social program that you want taxpayers to pay for, to say it's for the children.
Yeah.
But they don't say why it's for the children. So you end up voting for the Republicans have ended up voting money for the children, for the lame, the halt, the indigent, the border crashers that we have here. We're paying for their, you know, this is all nonsense. And they have not figured out, they being the GOP, has not figured out how to resist this.
Right, right. Well, that's a valid point. I mean, I know what you're saying. I mean, you know, a lot of the times what I find is happening, not only are they using, all right, being an American is a special privilege, George. Let's face it. You know, this country is a special country. I don't think you would disagree with that, right?
No, absolutely not.
That's, I mean, we're an exceptional country. We're an exceptional people. But I think, to your point, I think a lot of these politicians on both sides of the aisle who seek power, I think they tend to use the fact that, oh, we're America. Oh, we're Americans. We should be doing this. And I think they subvert to all of these sort of things that you just laid out, you know, border crashers and things like that, and societal, you know, these people just want to open up society and give everything to everybody and be, in other words, they want to be everything to everyone. It seems like there's a lot of that now. And they always link it back, George, to the fact that we're supposed to, because we're in America. And if you don't agree with that, somehow you're supposedly not American. Don't you find that's the way right now? And isn't that a bit insulting to Americans?
Well, that's exactly right. And they use the argument, well, you're not American, so you must compromise with us. And compromise leads to a lack of taking a stand and defending your principles.
Right. Well said. Well said.
They will never compromise with us. You know, when the Democrats are in power, they have control of the spending purse. There's no compromise, never, ever. When Republicans are in control, they tell us, we are told, they are told, you have to at least listen to our ideas and compromise with us so we can, help the children.
Well, just listening to you talk right now, I can tell you this, George. If I step back out of this conversation and look back into what we're saying right now, one of the biggest problems, and I can see even the way you put it out there, is when we get to the point, which I think we're at right now, when we start talking them and us, they and us, them and us and them, I think we have a big problem in this country, and that seems to be where we're at. If I look back over the past, 20 years, 30 years, there was only one time I remember the country coming together and being linked. I don't ever remember. I mean, I remember a lot of very controversy, always at odds, no matter who the president was, no matter who was in Congress. But there was one time America came together that I remember in my lifetime. Do you know when that was?
Well, I can think of three. Okay. Of course, the end of World War II. When John F. Kennedy managed to make the Russians leave Cuba, and the 9/11 incident.
Yeah, for me, it was the 9/11 incident. You're right. I don't, and I say that because I don't remember the end of World War II, as you say, although I understand it, what had happened. You know what I mean? When I said in my lifetime, so I can only relate to after 9/11, you see, personally, first.
I got it.
Yeah.
Yep, I understand that.
And that's the time that it's the only time I remember after 9/11 where patriotism was really in and people felt really good no matter where you were because the country united and they really wanted to come together. And boy, I'll tell you, the force and the energy of that unification of America is really our strength. And it's really where this country was founded and what this country is about, George. And, and the more we don't have them and the more we're on the us and they, I think it's sort of a cancer to the integrity of our country. You know what I mean?
It is cancer. And it's eating away, and we have another cancer approaching us already in the body politic, and that's Islam coming here. So we have a lot of problems to face, but compromise, you cannot compromise with what those people who do not want to be compromised with. And that's right now the Democrats.
Right. Okay. Well, listen, there's also a big growth of independence we're seeing. In fact, one of the things I want to talk about just ahead here is the growth of independence is incredible. When you see it is the biggest growing sector of our society today in America are the independents, not Republicans or Democrats or anything else. It's the independent movement in this country. So the question you have to ask yourself, folks, is the situation getting worse? Are we becoming more polarized in this country? And what happened to unification or bringing America back? There's also the question of how did we get a socialist running for president in the way of Bernie Sanders? How did that work out? And what's going to happen on that level? And then, it brings us back to liberal professors and why are our kids all embracing the Bernie Sanders of the world just as they did the Barack Obama? It's kind of an interesting question. You got to look at this thing from a societal standpoint and understand it matters. We're going to continue this conversation with George McClellan. We'll be right back with you. We are back, friends, and this is Real Life, and we're on the brink here. It's Malcolm Alau. Thanks for joining me, and we're back with George McClellan again, and I want to ask you, George, as we start to look at our country right now and where we're at, I want to bring it back to Gallup does an interesting, they follow this quite a bit here, the growth of independence. Gallup says the growth of independence is based on frustration with party gridlock in the federal government in 2015, for the fifth consecutive year, at least 4 in 10 U.S. adults identified as political independents. Now, this elevated percentage of political independents leaves the Democrats 29% and Republicans 26% as people that identify with those parties, and that is an all-time low, George. It's never been that low before in our history. So if you take this back to 1988, for instance, okay, that's when things turned in our country, George. 1988, more people started to identify as independents than they did as Democrats or Republicans. That was the turning point in America, okay? And that percentage of independents didn't reach 40% until 2011. So when 2011 happened, I'm giving you a timeline here now. So 1988, okay, we start to be more independence, you know, than the other. And then, you know, 40% in 2011. And it has stayed or at or above that level for the past 5 years. And now the percentage of Republicans is now, you know, they're low of 25%. And the Democrats and Republicans are both low, as I just said to you. Is this surprising to you, George, or is this did you expect this?
Well, I expect it because the people who constitute the Republican Party for so many years are kind of like me, getting old and dying off. The new people coming in are trained in liberal schools, and they don't have the appreciation of our government that I had and I saw as I grew up, and you. So I'm not surprised that those numbers are down, but what I find refreshing is that while they don't call themselves Republicans, they are a lot of them who call themselves conservatives. And that is the basic problem that facing the GOP right now.
Well, when you say problem, one of the things I'm noticing from a lot of the sophisticated studies that are happening right now in the 2016 election cycle is this. Many of the independents at this moment of time, and they can go either way, but they seem to be charting more with the Republican establishment. This is what the experts are saying now, which is actually a good thing for the Republican base, is it not?
Well, it is, and they're doing that because the Democrats or the socialists have run out of ideas. There's nothing new.
But in all fairness, after you have 8 years of administration, you know, when George Bush was at 8 years, when George W. Bush was at in his, you know, last year, it was a very toxic environment, too. I mean, he started spending like a drunken sailor. He'd been doing that right along. He attributed to the deficit we have now. I mean, a lot of this stuff happened on the Republicans' watch, quite frankly, George. And, you know, things plummeted. A lot of the times in this seventh, eighth year of an administration, things tend to go sour. If you look at history and a two-term presidency, that's kind of what we have right now with Barack Obama, is it not?
Oh, it certainly is.
Yeah.
It certainly is. He has to govern by executive order, and those are all removable by the next Republican. And the drunken sailor metaphor, lovely as it is, sailor only spends his own money. The president spends everybody's money.
So maybe we need to find another metaphor for him, huh?
Well, another way to spend money, anyway. I guess
that's true. I never heard it said that way, but I'm going to enjoy what you just said. A drunken sailor only spends his money. That says it. So maybe we're giving too much honor to the drunken sailor metaphor. So we'll have to find another one, brother. All right. So the rise now of Bernie Sanders has a lot of people surprised, and as the independent movement. And someone asked me the other day. They posed to me the other day and said to me, George, they said, why are the kids liking this Bernie Sanders? I mean, this is somebody put this out to me and said, a lot of the, you know, college kids and the young kids, they really like this Bernie Sanders. And they were confused by that. And I got thinking about it, I said, well, you're right. He's attracting that movement. But it's the same way Barack Obama did. He had the youth movement. He had a lot of movements, but he definitely had the youth movement. The kids liked him. To me, I think you have to relate it back to a lot of the liberal professors in our schools are teaching a very liberal agenda. And I think that's not just me saying that, George. That's a fact. I've read studies in recent days here on the fact of how much liberalism is coming out of our colleges. Is that the big reason you think that Bernie Sanders and Barack Obama are so attractive to the young kids in this country?
Well, that was going to be the answer I gave. Yes, it is the product of our liberal universities and colleges, and Bernie Sanders is speaking directly to what they were taught in college.
Okay, all right.
So they have no idea what free enterprise is.
All right, George, I want to talk to you now in the time we have left about this idea of compromise or no compromise. This is very important, what we talk about next. Now, I want to help our listeners understand what your thinking is. You're a proud American. You're a military man. You understand practically where our country's been. And you're at the point of life that you've seen it all. You've seen a lot of things. You referenced World War II earlier. I mean, you're older than me. You're probably 20-some-odd years older than I am. So we're in a different generation. And I want to ask you, where are we, as we are right now, if we don't compromise, George, when you say, you know, really we shouldn't compromise, and your article on Out Loud America gets into that, how do we survive moving forward? If we don't get them to the table, even if it's dragging and screaming, how are we going to get anything done in this country if we don't compromise? Tell me.
Well, they have to compromise once in a while, and they never do. And there is the fly in the ointment. You know, compromise only works when two people are haggling over, say, the price of a car, parents discussing their children's behavior and how to correct it, or employees looking for a pay contract. That's what compromise is. But you cannot compromise over your political principles, particularly when those principles support a constitution. You cannot abandon our constitution, the basis of our rule of law. It should not be allowed.
Yeah, so you're saying there's a fine line there, and you believe they're crossing that line.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And that's when you say, listen, the gloves come off and there's no compromise at that point.
Right, exactly.
And that really is, you know, I bring that back to the business world. I spent 27 years in corporate boardrooms before I jumped to the radio, Mike, 5 years ago and started the radio television stuff in my life, George. And I have to say, there was an art of compromise. And I used it a lot in the business environment. And we always knew, there was something we always said, that you never compromise your core values. You have to have core values in a business. You have to have them in an organization. You have to have them as a person. And as a political environment. All of it. You have to have your ideals, your corporate values. What do you stand for? What are your principles? And once you know those principles, we're taught young early on never to compromise those. You agree with that, obviously.
I certainly do. That's what I've been saying.
And the art of compromise is bring it to the table, but find ways to work around that, but never compromising those values. Right, George?
That's it exactly, yeah. In a nutshell.
Yeah. Well, I learned something from you now, what you meant, based on that column. Again, you'll find a lot more about George McClellan's work on OutLoudAmerica.com. You'll see him as a contributor and commentator right there. George McClellan, again, a great American military man. Thanks for your perspective on compromise. I've got some thoughts on this whole compromise thing I want to bring forward with you folks just after we take a quick pause here. And I have some steps and ideas to give you to compromise in your own life. Stay right there. We'll be right back with you here. Well, you know, in full disclosure, before I had George McClellan on, he had written a column for Out Loud America that I had read, and it was all about compromise and the fact that he didn't think people should compromise. And I thought, what is he talking about? I mean, we would be nowhere in this country if we don't sit down at a table and really compromise and understand what the big problems of the day are. And that's part of the problem we're having right now, is they're not compromising, they're not talking. Well, it was good to have George on and clear up a few things, I'll tell you that. It's Malcolm Out Loud, welcome back. This is real life, and we are on the brink here. And, talking compromise, the art of compromise. I started this today with you, and I quoted Sun Tzu, "He who knows when he can fight and when he cannot will be victorious." And, you know, it says a lot, the art of compromise and what Sun Tzu meant by that. You have to pick your fights. You have to know when the right opportunity is to make a stand, and which is really having a backbone. But you also have to know that, you know, you can't bend on your core values. You have to have principles. It's great. Everyone has to have principles, core values. And it's great to compromise, but it's compromising on the things you can compromise. There's an art to this, my friends. What you have to do is find common ground. You find common ground in the things that are beyond your principles, and you keep working toward the center of the conversation. You're going to have to give and take. That's just the way it is. That's how it is with compromise. It can't be all one way. It would never work. And that really is the problem. You know, you take a look at our political establishment right now today. They put off all the hard things, the hard decisions. Here we vote these cats into office. We ask them, you know, to sit in, whether it's Congress or whether it's the Oval Office or the Senate or local offices, mayor, governor. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, they make promises. We buy into their promises. We put them into office. And then we expect them to be accountable. I mean, I don't think that's too hard of a stretch here. We want them to be accountable. We also want them to do what they're supposed to do and what we put them in the office to do. Now, you take a look at some of the problems we're having today, and it's complete ignorance. I mean, the politicians look the other way. And what it is, it's a power game. It's like a big vacuum, and it becomes a power game. And here's what happens. Take immigration, for instance, right now. They don't want to work on immigration. They don't want to compromise because the Republicans don't want to give the power to the Democrats. Are there areas they could compromise on in immigration? Of course there is. I've reported on this on national radio many times. There are many areas where they could compromise. In fact, about 2 years ago, I think a lot of us thought we were going to get an immigration deal done. In fact, I talked to many leading immigration experts in the country. They thought we were going to get an immigration deal done. And here we are, well over 7 years in the administration now, and there is no immigration deal done. And guess what? There's not going to be one. It's because they've decided, they've elected not to work with each other. Now, there are a lot of reasons why. You can divide that up and slice it up any which way you want. And many say, the president overstepped his bounds and, signing too many executive orders and he's breaking the Constitution. No, I get that. Yeah, he is. They all do this. Republicans have done it. Democrats said, he's doing it more. You know what? They all done it more. There's presidents who've signed twice as many executive orders as this president. Now they say, but his executive orders are worse. Well, they thought that when Bush was in office. They thought he was signing too many damn executive orders. The Democrats were accusing him all the time. So you see what happens is it becomes a game of power. It really is a game of power. It's how much power can they amass? And what are they going to do with that power? And that really is the battle here of Democrat versus Republican in this country. It really is just a game of power. And then it becomes the agenda, and then the ideals for that agenda was the ideology, and then I don't want to compromise anymore. It's my way or the highway. Well, the only one that gets hurt from that is the American people. The politicians don't get hurt from it because you keep electing them back in office. You people keep electing the same clowns back in office, so they're not going to get hurt. I mean, we just keep giving them a nice cushioned black leather seat up there. And that's where most of these folks get wealthy in office. I mean, they don't go into office as wealthy Americans. But isn't it odd they come out of office as wealthy Americans? And we don't pay these people millions of dollars, by the way. So you got to scratch your head and wonder, how does that happen? That's exactly how it happens. There are more buy-offs, trade-offs, sends-off, and pass-offs when it comes to Congress. And, that's it. I mean, so it is a game of power. It's the power they seek. And what they do with that power is very, very important. And most of the time, it's not standing up for the values of you and I. And it's not what we put them into office to do and to do for us as Americans. So, again, you look at all of these things. Both political parties could come together and have compromise. But George is right in the fact of the Constitution. The Constitution is, it's being poo-pooed by both political parties. I mean, and I told George that when he was on. I don't think either party is doing a good job in protecting the Constitution. Now, hey, listen, you may say, so what, Malcolm? Big deal. All right. Listen, the Constitution has served us well for almost 240 years. I mean, the framers, the reason it's the United States Constitution, there was a lot of thought put into this document, and it has led this country very, very well through some very difficult times, some very difficult moments. I guess the way you look at it, the United States of America was an experiment. It really was kind of a freak of nature, was an experiment. I mean, we had people, let's face it, everybody in this country is an immigrant from somewhere. And it was people who seeked a better life. They wanted something different. They didn't want to be in Europe. They didn't want to be in South America. They want to be in Africa. People were looking for a new way of life, something different. And that's how this, particular country was born. This democracy was born. And it came out of all of these thoughts. And that's where the framers put this together and decided, okay, America was going to be an experiment. Going to be an experiment. We're going to see what happens with this country. And many of us, we're proud. We're proud to be American. We're proud of American exceptionalism. But we need compromise. We need everybody to come together to solve the big problems of the day. Because, at the end of the day, it's quality of life we're talking about for everybody. Listen, I have an interesting piece I just wrote for you. It's on life lessons. If you go to brinkofgreatness.com, brinkofgreatness.com, I got so much on here. I love this site. It's one of my favorites, actually, because it celebrates what's right with the world. Talks about a lot of, there are so many great, there are a lot of great news stories out there, people who are doing great things. And I'm not kidding you. I know some of you are saying, what are you talking about, Malcolm? Everything is negative out there. Now, it doesn't have to be that way, friends. There is a lot of good news out there. I made a decision in my life to focus on positive, to focus on problem solving. There's enough people bitching and complaining about everything that is wrong in society today, and I don't think it's going to get us anywhere. I think we need to hold people accountable, and I think we need to celebrate the good things of human beings. What are some of the good things they've done? Well, the brink of greatness has all of these incredible Brink stories. I love these stories. I mean, there are so many incredible stories on the front, but there's also, off the main nav, a section called Life Lessons. And these are things that I've done over the years, tools. You'll see Life Lessons and Tools. They're ideas, they're lessons from my 27 years in corporate boardrooms and understanding life and then being on the radio mic, things I've put together to help you all out. So the one up there right now is stubbornness should always win over compromise. And it's kind of interesting. Again, I love, as you can tell already, I love quotes and I love Ayn Rand. And she had it right, really. The easy way out requires no extra effort at all. You simply go along to get along. She says, and I quote, "I can accept anything except what seems to be the easiest for most people, the halfway, the almost, the just about, the in between." She was quite an author. Atlas Shrugged. She's got so many books, Fountainhead. If you haven't read any of her books, you need to. Ayn Rand. She was something else, really. But, it goes on. The stubbornness should always win over compromise was the title of this article. When, there's a caveat now, when it comes to your core values. So you see what I'm saying here. Yeah, we have principles. We have core values. There are some things we will not do. Okay, it's that simple. And there are reasons for this. Maybe we're good people. We want to live a certain standard in our life. And we don't want to compromise on those standards. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can compromise on the other things. So I've put together 5 compromise truths in this article, which I encourage you to go look at. It's on thebrinkofgreatness.com. I am going to put it on the Twitter feed as well. You'll find it, hashtag Malcolm Out Loud on Twitter. And follow me on Twitter as well right there. But again, there are 5 compromise truths here. Inquisitiveness, non-negotiable, predictability, knowledge, conviction. Take a look at the article. I think you'll like it. It gets into the nose and hows and wants, and it's a good life lessons there on Brink of Greatness, and I'm sure I believe it'll help you out some. So again, the art of compromise is very clear. There are things in this country we can come together, just like we do in our families, my friends, just like we do in our businesses. We can expect our leaders to do it as well. There's nothing wrong with that. So I think George McClellan had a good point. I'm glad he cleared that up for me anyways. It was good to have him on the show. It's the first time he's been on the radio with me, and I think it was a delight. I think he was very, very good, very knowledgeable man, and has a lot to say. And again, I love people, military people, that are just so passionate, and they're patriotic, and they've seen life from all sides, and they have a lot to share with us. Well, folks, thanks for being with me again. This is Real Life, and we are bringing it to you every day here. Thanks again. Get involved. Get loud.